Are there differences in how men and women sleep and the need for sleep? I'm Lucy Ann Lance, and this is A Healthier Michigan with Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan. This is Women's Health Month and Better Sleep Month, so no better time than now to talk about it. Joining us is Dr. Amy McKenzie. She is Vice President of Clinical Partnerships and Associate Chief Medical Officer at Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan. Are there differences? I mean, how men and women actually feel rested?
Yeah, Lucy, and there absolutely are differences. The research shows that women are nearly twice as likely to say that they wake up feeling not as refreshed. So we see it, you know, about 30% of women are saying that compared to 17% of men. So there's definitely gender differences.
Wow. So what's going on here, do you think, Dr. McKenzie?
Yeah, there's a number of things when you look at it. First of all, I would say, you know, societal norms. Women oftentimes are the caregivers in our society, whether of children or of, you know, their elderly parents. There can be sleep disruption associated with getting up and taking care of kids. But another part is, you know, just the differences in men and women in terms of women are carrying children. They have hormonal differences that contribute to all of these things, things like menopause and, you know, things that contribute in that way as well that create some of these disparities.
All right, let's talk about menopause. How does that affect our sleep?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, menopause causes, hormonal changes. And the official definition of menopause is that it takes about 12 months. But for about 4 years before menopause, you are in this perimenopausal period where your hormones are kind of waning over a period of time. And so that can create things like hot flashes or night sweats is what we can hear from women. It can also create physiologic differences, so changes in snoring patterns, and that can create like sleep apnea issues that can contribute to sleep issues. We also can see more restless leg syndrome for women that can be waking them up in the middle of the night. So a number of different issues that happen during menopause associated with those hormones.
There's a lot going on here, isn't it, for women?
There is. There definitely is, yeah.
It's surprising we get any sleep at all. Another issue, though, that seems to impact both men and women as they age is having to get up every few hours just to urinate, right?
Yep. So urination can be another issue, both during menopause, but then also you think about the childbearing years, right? First trimester, third trimester. I can remember those days of being uncomfortable, not being able to sleep and having to get up and urinate multiple times. We see that during pregnancy as well. So if you have a couple pregnancies and then once you hit menopause, it all comes back again too.
Right.
So yeah, definitely we see these fluctuations during life that contribute to sleep issues.
We're talking about differences in sleep patterns between men and women with Dr. Amy McKenzie, Vice President of Clinical Partnerships and Associate Chief Medical Officer at Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan. And I want our listeners to know that they can go to ahealthiermichigan.org and get lots of great information on this topic and many other health issues from Blue Cross. That's ahealthiermichigan.org. So Dr. McKenzie, let's talk about how we can help this and improve our sleep as women. What lifestyle changes, for instance, can improve our quality of sleep?
Yeah. So we talked about the things that you can't control, right? I mean, some of them you can. You can go get hormone replacement therapy and things like that. And that's really a decision between you and your doctor. But there are a lot of things that you can control in your environment that can contribute to better sleep. One thing is making sure that you have an optimal sleep environment. So making sure that your room isn't too warm. They found ideal temperature for being able to sleep is between 60 and 67 degrees approximately. So keeping that temperature down in the evening can really help. Making sure that the room is dark, making sure that you're not doing things in your bedroom other than, for sleep, like being on tablets or watching TV, all of those things can be very disruptive to sleep patterns. Getting regular exercise is another really good way to kind of tire your body out, tire your mind out to help kind of better contribute to sleep. Avoiding caffeine, right? So especially if you're sensitive to it, any caffeine after noon can contribute, and then alcohol as well. can also disrupt sleep patterns. And then finally, I would say try to stick with the normal pattern. Your body develops kind of an understanding of what your pattern is. And if you're varying your time of getting up in the morning or going to bed at night, that can contribute to sleep issues as well. So trying to stay, you know, with a fixed and routine pattern, even on the weekends, can really help as well.
Your bedroom should be your sleep sanctuary. And so you don't want to all of a sudden make it the central point of your household, because you'll never get to sleep that way. And
that is right.
Unfortunately, so many of us love our devices, and we have to have them in the bedroom because there really aren't corded phones anymore. You want to have a way to call if you need to, but they can be very disruptive, especially if you get up to go potty and then you're up.
Yep.
And so you start scrolling. It's a never-ending cycle. So you really have to be cognizant of all of this, don't you?
Yeah, you're 100% right. Many of us, like I use mine for my alarm now, right? They become this very useful tool. But I think setting some kind of like discipline around that of, I'm going to shut my phone off and I'm not going to be on social media and I'm not going to be, you know, scrolling and trolling the internet, you know, within 2 hours of bedtime is a really good practice to help you kind of quiet your mind, maybe find something to read, have a cup of tea. Those types of things can really quiet down your body, your mind, and help you to get to sleep.
Your sleep patterns obviously change depending on your age. I've noticed that I used to get away with 4 hours of sleep, or at least I thought I could. Now, as I'm older, I'm going to bed much earlier, sometimes even at 8 o'clock at night, when I used to not go to bed until midnight. And I'm getting up earlier, but I'm getting a good solid 8 hours of sleep, and I feel so much better.
Yeah, most of us need that 7 to 8 hours. I think there's a period of time in your life where you can kind of rob Peter to pay Paul type of thing, but it is not a healthy practice to do. I would say 7 to 8 hours of sleep for the average adult. And this has been shown that, you know, when you're not getting enough sleep, it can contribute to mental health issues. Mental health issues can also contribute to lack of sleep in terms of anxiety and depression. And also importantly is when you are lacking sleep, you are creating like physiologic changes in your body that contribute to inflammation that can contribute to disease. Obesity is tied to this, cardiovascular disease is tied to this, diabetes. So it really is a very important practice. You know, we talk a lot about don't smoke and, you know, make sure that you're exercising. Sleep is one of those that's really high up there in terms of being able to contribute to your overall health.
So important. Thank you so much. Differences in sleep needs between men and women with Dr. Amy McKenzie, Vice President of Clinical Partnerships and Associate Chief Medical Officer at Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan. For more information, go online to ahealthiermichigan.org. I'm Lucy Ann Lance, and this is Ann Arbor's Talk Station, 1290 WLBY.